And now, get ready, folks. It's time for Banter with Bob Sherwood and Dan Snell. Banter. And now, here's Bob and Dan.
Okay, guys and gals, here we are Friday afternoon, and it could be a long, painful weekend. Long, painful weekend. I don't know what's happening, but we want to go on record with this podcast as what we think is going on, what is happening, and what it's going, how it's going to affect anything. Now, Trump's position is 0-0 with respect to tariffs, which means if you put a tariff on us, we put a tariff on you. If you take your tariff off, then we take our tariff off. And so far as I know, there's only been two countries that have agreed to what I call 0-0. That means no tariff on either side. And that is Vietnam. I don't know what we buy from Vietnam, but and also Israel.
Which I don't think had much tariff anyway.
Yeah, they didn't have much tariff. But I think the market I just checked looks like it was down 2,000 points today. Apple probably lost $1 trillion. I don't know if Americans can put up with this. I mean, in World War II, America bought savings bonds and they helped fund the war. You know, we got on food stamps because it was a very difficult time for our parents. They lived through that. We were funding the war. We were giving up not only our youngest men to go over to fight in Europe, but we were buying savings bonds to fund the war. Now, here we have today. Today we have a war that's been going on for 30 years, and Trump has decided to stop it. And it's painful. And I think it's going to get even worse. It's painful because 0-0 to me is the proper way to have a tariff. I won't put a tariff on your materials if you don't put a tariff on mine. And if I can import into your country, I could. But a lot of countries don't want that. They're afraid that we'll start importing more into their country than they're exporting out because maybe we'll make better products. Who knows? But I don't know how long Americans put up with the pain. Our parents put up with a lot. We're fighting a war. We have a war now, but it's a different kind of war. It's a war to get back manufacturing jobs and manufacturing in general that we've lost or lost over the last 30 years. It's going to be painful. I'm hurting just thinking about it.
Yeah. You know, you started out, you're right. We got to get on the rec because this is one of those types of podcasts, like a movie that's an epic movie, right? This is like Gone with the Wind. This is like Rocky. This is like some of the great first movies. And so we got to make sure we're really banter. Here's the banter. Banter on April the 4th, 2025. Take one. We'll see what we're going to do here.
When Eisenhower made the decision to basically, you know, invade Europe, right? There's a famous kind of saying that he said, that's kind of redundant, but he said, we don't know if we're making the right decision. We don't know, right? We don't know how it's going to come out. The forecasts for how many people are going to die were fantastic, you know, very high. He says, we don't know how this decision is going to come out. And I think that's very, very honest and frank, because he could have said, oh, it's going to come out great. He could have been optimistic, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, he was just factual about it. And that's what I'm trying to be right now, factual. We don't know how this is going to come out. It could come out horrible. It could come out fantastic. We can start getting manufacturing back. But look at Apple. I mean, they're going to get killed. I mean, they could be a $10 stock in a couple of weeks because they can't import a $2,500 phone. Is not going to fly in the United States. What are they going to do?
The fact of the matter is that there's some inconsistency going on in what Donald Trump said he would do during the campaign and now what he's doing. Yeah, he talked about tariffs, but he also said, I would reduce prices on day one. I would end the war in Ukraine on day one. My point is, with regards to the tariffs, and I've said, we've talked about this before, if you're the president of the United States or if you're a city councilman in Shawnee County, if you're going to put forth a plan, I know you don't like me to talk about that. It doesn't matter, though, Bob.
Because you're not answering my question.
Leadership.
I started talking about.
I'm going to tell you what's going to happen.
On Apple. Well, tell me, focus at some point in your conversation, what is the impact on Apple?
Well, you know, I go where I want to go because I live on ADD Avenue.
Okay. All right.
So listen, I'm going to tell you that we don't know. Just like you referenced in the world. We don't know. America, I just wrote this on the social media, is, and the reason why, I'll tell you the what and the why. Everybody, the what is everybody's going on emotion and reaction, and the people that love Trump say it's going to be great, whatever he says goes. The people that don't like Trump say, see how bad he is. The people in the middle, the 70% of Americans, like I could say I am, that just want the place we call home to get better, we're going, hey, this is scary. Like you just said, you don't know what's going to happen. You're a little bit scary. You're in that group. What's going to happen is we all have to take a breath. And, yeah, the last 2 days have been horrible. Dow's down 2,000 points.
Yeah.
But Trump didn't. Here's the bottom line. He didn't. He's got this on his mind. He didn't explain it to the American people. He didn't explain it to the world.
I don't see what his explanations have to do with the issue of tariffs.
Well, it's huge.
Are you saying that if he explained it better, the market wouldn't have gone down?
Absolutely. The whole world would have reacted differently.
Okay.
So here's the thing. He put together one of the most huge changing. Now, let me finish, buddy. One of the biggest. Totally.
On point. Yeah, go ahead.
He threw everything upside down, and he just, because he wants to do it. If he would have explained, okay, here's where we're at. Here's where we've been for 30 years. We have been paying more on tariffs to other countries than they've been paying to us, and say to the American people calmly, forthrightly, show them up front and out front, we got to balance this out, and here's what I'm going to do. And when we do that, in the short term, you can't just say it after everything's going bad, say, yeah, there's going to be pain. You have to upfront and outfront prepare people for, as you referenced, World War II, prepare for what we're going to have to do to sacrifice. And then on the back end, where the benefits would be. Donald Trump has had an epic failure in leadership when it comes to explaining this major unearthing of world trade.
Yeah, you're so far off the point, and I guess I don't know who you read for your information, but
this is my information on.
Let me explain. Let me hear what I hear. Your logic, when I take through all the words, your logic is that if he would have explained it better. Now listen closely.
Clearly,
I'm trying to paraphrase your logic. If he would have explained it better or clear or whatever other definition you want to put, the market wouldn't have gone down. Now, I couldn't have disagreed. I don't care how he explains it. The market's going down because tariffs affect companies. And whether he explains it or not, whether he said get ready for the drop or not get ready for the drop, no one is ready for a 3,000-point drop in the Dow. You can't be prepared for that unless you're a short seller.
Now, if you're looking at what happened in the last 48 hours, what could have happened 30 plus days ago, getting to where we're at today. Yeah, would it have dropped? Sure, it probably would have dropped because of the economic impact the market sees, but it might not have dropped 3,000 points.
Well, of course, you have me there because you have a hypothetical with a hypothetical conclusion, which is very interesting, but not really relevant, because what really happened is what happened. And what we have to deal with now, regardless of how he explained it, and regardless, let's just say he's at fault. Okay, now he's at fault. He's at fault. He didn't explain it right. Okay, now what? Now what's the impact on Apple? How
Well,
is Apple?
Apple has to look at, and along collectively with the country, okay, what are we gonna do next? You and I had a conversation yesterday. What are we gonna do in the next 2 years in our finances, personal
well, if
finances?
You're the president of Apple, Tim Cook, what would you do?
Obviously, I would try to talk to President Trump and say, what is your plan? Are you doing this to negotiate with China? You know, you can't just say possibly he's doing this. People say, oh, he's a great negotiator, the art of the deal.
Okay, so let's go through this. I'll be Trump, and I'll say, yeah, I'm doing it to negotiate with China. Now what?
Okay, Mr. President, sir, yeah. That's good. Anytime you can negotiate with China. When was the last time you talked to President Xi?
A couple of days ago.
And they just slapped additional tariffs on us.
It's going to be a major trade war.
Yeah.
Now, what are you going to do, Mr. Cook?
Well, that's why I'm calling you, sir. Sir, everybody to call you sir.
No,
sir,
no,
sir.
I'm not changing the tariffs. I've already said that. What are you going to do, Mr. Cook, about Apple? You have shareholders. You have employees. I'm not responsible for your shareholders. I'm not responsible for your employees. What are you going to do?
Sir, may I speak freely, sir? Sir, sir, since you like to be called sir, Mr. Trump.
Yeah.
Okay. I will get my board of directors together and advisors and people I consider wise counsel. And I'm going to say, if we eat the upgrade and the uptick in costs, how will that affect us? What will our stockholders do? How will it impact long-term our relationship with our clients? Let me finish, sir.
Apple.
Sir, sir, you asked me a question.
He already knows that. He's going to get his board of
directors.
Well,
sir, why didn't you do that? Why didn't you do that, sir?
Do what?
President Trump, why didn't you seek wise counsel and factual information?
I talked to a lot of people before I did it, as a matter of fact, but that's not the point. Whether I talked to nobody or somebody or anybody, you still miss the point. The point is, this is what we have. We can't talk about reinventing the past. We can't talk about changing the past process, even if it's horrible. What are we going to do going forward? That's the issue, right?
That's a fair thing. That's a fair point, Mr. President. What are you going to do going forward? The American.
I am, as a person, and on this banter, focusing on not the process that we got here, because the process started 40 years ago, not just yesterday, right? Now.
But, sir, you blamed everybody.
Pardon me?
Mr. President, sir, you have blamed everyone for everything that's ever gone wrong.
I admit it. I blamed everybody. I'm horrible, blah, blah, blah.
No, sir. Did you take credit when the market went up?
What are we going to do going forward? Quit. It's like what the Democrats do is they focus on Trump. They don't focus on that's already done. Now, what are we going to do going forward? What are people going to do? What's Apple going to do? What's Boeing going to do?
Well, if I'm any company,
right,
I'm looking at I'm with measured thoughts and taking a breath, getting the wisest people together and thinking, what are we going to do? Has anybody got any ideas?
As smart as they are. Well, they're not any smarter than we are. They see the same situation.
So I'm thinking that they eat. I would propose to, if I were Tim Cook, I would propose that in the short term, we come up with a plan that says, okay, we're going to have a tariff sale, and we're to help our clients, we're going to reduce some of our Apple fees nationwide for 15%. So if you have Apple TV, if you have, you know, storage, whatever, we're going to do that with the knowledge that we're going to do that for 6 months.
Those are all good things. Here's what I would do if I was Tim Cook. I would simply advise Trump that tomorrow I am not selling any more iPhones in the United States, period. It's over. I'm not selling anymore. By the way, because I have good markets in China, and they're not tariffed in China because I build them in China. They're not tariffed in India. I'm not going to sell in the United States. So Everybody can get mad. I don't care. No more iPhones can be sold.
Wait a
because
minute.
essentially that's what happened. I can't sell them at $2,300, so I'm just going to stop selling them because I got other countries. And by the way, America's got 350 million people. There's 4.5 more billion people in the world. And by the way, I'm just going to move my headquarters from Sunnyvale, California to Shangzhuang, China. That's what I'm going to do because that's what you're forcing me to do.
So therein lies why you and I are so great. So folks, I'm going to pause here.
Yeah.
You're listening to banter and you see, this is one of those times where Bob and I are going to get into a banter. And one of the reasons why we're great is we can banter. And so in this case, we're really having a banter because Bob, you do think, and in a lot of good ways, that's why you're a successful Silicon Valley executive, many companies, serial entrepreneur. You hate compliments. So you hate the difference between you and Trump. Is Trump loves compliments. He wants everybody to praise him.
No,
you
I'm
don't.
Not Trump. I'm not Trump.
Well, you're similar personalities.
What's your point?
Okay. Now, that being said, folks, be sure and like, share, subscribe. This is a good one. So share this via email or your SMS text this to somebody because we're going at it. Now, back to the show. Back
now
to the show. If you want to write us,
now
web
tell you
talk.
What
one of the things Bob does, you notice, is when I'm talking, he interrupts. I know he's been told that before by loved ones and people. So my point is we banter well. Be sure to write us at webtalkwithbob@gmail. Webtalkwithbob@gmail. It's right there on the screen above.
Before I go to sleep.
So, Bob, you are taking, this is the theory that you and Trump do. It's my ball or it's my Oreo cookies.
No,
I'm taking it.
I'm taking it and I'm going home.
I'm not going to talk to you about it. I'm taking my Oreo cookies and I'm going home.
What I said.
I'm taking my iPhone. I'm taking my iPhone sales and I'm taking them away.
That's not Trump. That's Cook. Cook
no,
is doing
I know you're saying that's what Cook should do, but that is what Cook is not going to do that because
Cook
doesn't think that way.
Of course, we disagree. But what we're talking about, hypotheticals, for example.
Oh, wait a minute. Time out. Just 4 minutes ago, you said, I'm talking in hypotheticals, and that doesn't count. Now you're talking about folks, you heard it here, Web Talk with Bob at Gmail.
I wish you'd take notes sometimes. Listen. There's nothing wrong with hypotheticals, right? I never, ever said there's wrong with hypotheticals.
Yeah.
I gave hypothetical option because I want to talk about content, and I don't care about dissing Trump. It's irrelevant to me. Content is what could companies do? And I gave an example of what companies could do, right? That's what it was. Now, there's another example, which I've said before. California could basically decide to secede from the United States and create their own tariffs. You know, they're like the 10th biggest economy in the world or something like that.
I think it's
they
eight,
can just tell
eighth
China,
biggest.
You can eighth ship biggest. Them to California, no tariffs. We'll keep everything the way it is, right? We'll build our phones over in China. But California now, we'll secede. We're going to tell China and other countries, we're not part of Trump's tariffs. Now, Trump's got a problem. How does he impose federal tariffs on states?
You're doing it. See, even my dog Hercules says, Dad, this is some serious stuff because I'm not going to get the dog food I want. I'm not going to get the higher priced dog food. Do you hear Hercules saying that? Folks,
no.
If you're a dog lover, it's another reason to support and watch banter because, you know, dogs in America are going to suffer.
We have a serious conversation on what's possible, what things can happen.
If I were Tim Cook, I would gather the fellow CEOs of Ford, GM, Google, Amazon. I would get together with them.
Okay, so now
and say, okay, we need, what are we collectively going to do, or more so the manufacturers?
What do you think, Dan? What I'm saying, I'm giving you very specific hypothetical alternatives, very specific things that could actually happen. You're saying that we call a meeting.
Okay.
Of course
the solution, a solution, because shameless plug, the S of Winsome stands for be a solutioneer. What president didn't do, we hear all this blah, blah, blah. Now, 3 days ago, it was 3 billion dollars going to be invested in the United States by companies moving plants here. Today, I just heard him say it's trillion, excuse me. 3 days ago, because the facts are important, 3 days ago it was $3 trillion. Now it's $7 or $8 trillion. All of a sudden,
possible
in 3 days, $5 trillion more money that Trump has got in his mind. My point is, I'm not picking on Trump. I'm stating what he said, and I'm saying, okay, Mr. President, here's the solution. Let me get to the solution. What are you going to do to Tim Cook, to General Motors, to Ford, to the people who make the parts for my Ford Expedition King Ranch, shameless plug for Ford? What are you going to do to incentivize? It's a big word. Nebraska, 2.2 GPA. Anyway, what are you going to do to help us build these plants as quickly as possible?
Nothing.
And sir, if you want us to invest, if you're making us pay more, and you want us to invest, there has to be something that makes it win-win.
I don't care if you invest or not. That's up to you. I think it's smart for you to invest, but I don't have an opinion on that. But I'm not doing anything to help you because, after all, you're the ones that got us in this trouble in the first place by offshoring all the manufacturing and making all this money for the last 25 and 30 years. Now you got to pay the price.
Sir, didn't you just say 7 minutes ago that what are we going to talk about moving forward, not what's happened in the past? So,
that's
sir, you said, folks, go back, rewind, watch this on Banter.
And you're not
Bob, a.k.a. Trump, said we're not going to talk about the past. We're talking about moving forward. I'm talking about moving forward, sir.
I am, too. And you asked me a question. If I was Trump, I'd tell him, no, I'm not doing anything.
It could, because you said your why. That was the what. But your why was because we screwed it up in the past.
Well, yeah.
So how can you help us fix the future?
Forget the why. The what is I'm not doing anything.
How can you help us fix the future? If I were president, I would sit down with wise people, economic advice. I watched a guy. In fact, I wrote down his name. In fact, I wrote down this guy's name today. I have never seen. I mean, talk about a lapdog. This guy was the biggest lapdog I've ever seen.
You know what a snake killer is?
Stephen Moran. Have you ever heard of him? He's on the Council of Economic Chairman. He's the chairman of Economic Advisors. And he said, what Donald Trump is doing is the brave. It's the greatest. You know, and he talks about My point is, what are we going to do in the short term so that Tim Cook or anybody starts building these plants as soon as possible? So in 2 years, we're well underway, and in 3 years, we're moving into them.
Well, of course, that's what we want to do. Nobody talks. Of course, that's the objective.
The $8 trillion as of today.
The objective, right? Nobody debates the objective.
Let's put the date on this film. It's the 4th of April.
Nobody debates the objective. Obviously, that's what we want. The issue is, how do we get there?
Yes.
And what specific things? Now, when you start talking about calling a meeting,
so that we can collectively, we can collectively together, united as the leading economic stimulus and job providers in America, say to President Trump, okay, this is what's happened. Moving forward, we need your assistance. If you're going to, we would ask you, sir, to not ask for
Can
the
you be more specific. What assistance do you want?
That's for wise counsel. Again, you always make fun of me when I talk about city council. But at the city level or county level, you can give some tax breaks for a period of 10 years or something, or you can build a road. Or you can do things that stimulate, make it easier. The cost is less, so that if I'm investing $500 billion in a plant, I maybe save $100 million in taxes over 10 years, or I save.
Of course. Those are all of courses. Of course, they would be able to do that.
But they're not doing the of course. It's in the course.
We don't know what they're doing right now. All I know is that.
Because he didn't announce it and he didn't make a plan and explain it to people up front.
Now you're picking on process.
I'm picking on him because he deserves it. Today, He deserves
Well,
it.
no, but why do we want to pick on him? I don't. There's no value for me in that.
Well,
Is there value for you?
I'm a Republican. Ronald Reagan's campaign chairman, 1980. I've been a.
Is there value to you personally? Think about what I'm saying, right? Is there value to you to pick on Trump?
The value is because if there's one person out there that hears this that says there's some common sense in that, and then they decide maybe I should get involved and run for city council, county commission, state rep, and they get involved and they take an attitude that whenever they talk about something, they look at it from a solutioneer standpoint. How am I going to make the place I call home better? Then that makes it because I know the world's getting better. I don't care. I mean, all I have to do is figure out a way to make more money so that I can pay my bills. I
Okay.
have not been as successful, folks. Clear. I've not been as successful as my colleague, my cohort,
Don't
my
start that. Don't
Bob
start
Sherwood.
hyperbolizing
Oh, you
things,
hate
right?
that, though. You hate that. Compliment, compliment, compliment.
You don't know why I hate it, though. If you knew why I hated it, you'd never do it.
Well, let's reveal that right now. This is breaking news, folks, right here on Banter. Bob,
No,
why do you not like to
I'm not
be,
interested in that.
why do
I'm
you not
interested
like,
in a
why do
much
you
higher
not
level
like
conversation.
compliments?
For example, I really do think that the spinoffs of the tariffs, the unforeseen consequences are much different than dropping the stock market. That's what I was talking about earlier. The unforeseen consequences create situations that it's happened before, right? There's no reason why California should stay a state. They don't have to be a state. They can secede if their people want to. They can go and decide. I believe they can decide that they're just not going to follow the tariffs. So what I'm driving at is that the thing that I'm bringing to this conversation, right, is not hypothetical BS, but
Wait a minute. You had hypothetical.
unforeseen consequences that could happen.
That's right. And we're only
It could
measuring it. We've only talked about the stock market. I mean to interrupt you. We've only
That's
talked
okay.
about, and that's what everybody's looking at, the stock market. But you're
Yeah.
right. There are people that are going to lose their homes. There are people that are going to have
I never
cars.
said that. I never said anything about people losing their
Well,
homes.
there's going to be
I said
unforeseen consequences by the cost of living when they're not going to be able to
but
make house payments, car payments.
the unforeseen consequences at the micro level might be that, but the macro level, which is the only thing I can see, because is that it could affect secessions. It could affect whether or not a government can create tariffs that go across every state boundary. That's going to be the next thing. Now, the Democrats were really smart. And they're not, for the most part, although maybe somebody will be bringing this up soon. They'll be saying, well, those federal tariffs, by the way, okay. And but they don't apply to our state. So if you want to ship into our state, like Arkansas would be, let's face it, where does 80% of all the products sold by Walmart made? China, Vietnam, North Korea, South Korea. So Arkansas could just say, well, screw it. You can ship stuff into our place and there's no tariff. And we'll ship stuff to your place, no tariff. We're not gonna follow the federal tariffs. And now, mark my words, some judge probably by Monday or Tuesday of next week will say the federal tariffs that Trump has just said are not valid to all states.
Interesting. But here's what I think is going to happen, honestly, in the big picture of politics, is that
Well, I was honest.
Congress, I
Yeah.
think there'll be some Republicans that'll go along with it. Congress is going to, there's been some discussion about that the president can't just on his own, he takes that big pen.
Yeah.
Actually, I love that. That's very dramatic. Donald Trump has a flair for the drama. And plays to the, and that's a good,
You
that's a
just
thing.
can't talk about
I'm
content
a hontan. So
mentioning
the
Trump.
content is, I think Congress will pass a law that Congress is the one that levies tariffs, not the president.
Congress are a bunch of that for the most part. I mean, there's probably people there that are pretty smart, but they're still trying to figure out how to use social media. They're still trying to figure out how to use Signal, and other types of communication devices, So no, I don't have any faith in Congress. Why should we have any faith in Congress? because
Well,
they
that's
don't
isn't
show
that a
anything.
sad thing that here we are, a couple guys
Very
in the
sad.
heartland of America, every man, we represent, quote, every man, and we don't know why we should not have. Remember growing up when you were little? I remember John F. Kennedy, and I remember that the government that, you know, we watched the FBI when it first came out, now it's on TV, but the FBI, Ephraim Zimbalist Jr., remember him? We really thought they were good and clean and everything was perfect. Now today everybody attacks them. But my point is we should have elected leaders that we can believe in.
Well, I don't disagree with
And,
that. Of course, we'd like to have that,
wait,
right?
are you saying I'm right? Go ahead. Say, go ahead. You're
I've
right,
said
John.
it many times. I'll say you're conceptually, you're almost always correct. You
This
know,
is
sometimes you
such a
lack
good one.
precision in your solutions, but your objectives are always correct. They're always nice and, you know, great. You know, it's like, you know, let's go win the war.
I should have been an adult in the 1950s and actually 40s, 50s, and 60s. I wish I could have served in World War II. I did not. So, folks, you're listening to Banter, Bob Sherwood, Dan Snell. If you want to write us, webtalkwithbob@gmail.com. We are still going on, but I just want, we really need you to like us, subscribe, share it with your friends. If you want to be on the show, you want to talk about a topic, we've had people now, it's starting to happen, isn't it, Bob? You got people writing you at webtalkwithbob, right there is the email. They're saying, hey, I wrote a song, and I want to tell you about this song, what it has meaning for of life. So we want to have special guests, but be sure and share this. This is a good one
How many
today.
Minutes do we have left?
Well, we've got, no, let's see. We've got, yeah, we still got 10 minutes or so for
good.
Banter.
Because I want to try to get back on track from thinking about things that are happening now that affect everyone. And that is what I call it. It's time to get out your pencil and your paper and go away in a room by yourself and think about your financial strategies for the next few years, because the next 2 years could be the hardest 2 years of our lives financially. And many, many reasons for that. And I'll tell you, one of the top reasons is because there is so much misunderstanding about economics in the world.
Yes.
I heard people talking yesterday. They didn't know. They kept saying, oh, the tariffs are going to cause inflation. Tariffs will cause inflation. Prices are going to go up. They don't even understand then what causes inflation, right?
Yeah,
you know?
You're right. People need to breathe. They need to breathe and go, okay, last 48 hours, crisis, breathe, and let's see what next week holds. You know, what would be fun, folks, be sure and listen to this weekend, Meet the Press, Face the Nation.
Oh, my God, don't listen to Meet the Press.
Well, you get, no, you
Why
get both sides. Now, they
that?
Invite, I'll tell you who's really great. I'm going to give a shout out to Chris Cuomo because he has, you know, who you remind me of, Bob, is Bill O'Reilly, right?
I
kind of like to think,
Bill
I think
O'Reilly.
Like Chris Cuomo. Now, some people go, I hate Chris Cuomo. I hate Bill O'Reilly. So they, you know, they might
know.
hate us, but we don't care.
O'Reilly,
right?
I like because he's very factual. He has opinions, no question about it. And he says, hey, he'll say, blah, blah, blah. This is my opinion.
Yeah.
You may disagree with it, but that's my opinion.
He's written like 20 books. You've written almost 20 books. You guys have a lot in common.
Yeah. He's worth about $80 million, and which is about 100 and 200 times more than I'm worth. But going back again to the content of the subject, right? I believe that there are unintended consequences of the tariffs that go way beyond the stock market dropping. And I mentioned two of them.
You mentioned California.
I
you
wasn't
think
dropping about those, right?
California should secede from the union.
Well, when I
what
say
about
secede,
Texas? Why not Texas?
Okay. I'll tell you, there is an answer to that. I don't know if I have time to go through all the possibilities, but we really could stick on California for a second, because California has got so many tech companies that by their nature, their products are built in China or Taiwan, right? So Texas has got some tech companies for sure, not nearly as many as California does. Now, and going back again, when I say succeed, I don't necessarily mean they become their own country, although that's certainly possible. There's no reason why they couldn't be their own country. I think Gavin Newsom certainly liked that, that he could become president of a country that has a GDP almost equivalent to the rest of the United States. But what I'm really driving at is the tech companies Well, let me say it another way. For years, we think of Apple as an American company. They are not an American company and haven't been. They are a company that has a legal corporation in the United States of America. They also have one in China, Hungary, France, Germany, Ireland, Taiwan. In other words, they got legal corporations in probably 80 different countries. They're a multinational company. They are not an American company. And you know this for a fact when their sales of iPhones in China are more than the sales of iPhones in the United States. And they make their iPhones in China. They're
Well, they got
more of a
more people
company.
in China, more consumers in
That's the
China,
whole
right?
point. If you were starting Apple today, you'd say, well, let's wait a minute. If China's got 1.5 billion people and we're going to make our phones there, why don't we just put our headquarters there? Why not? There's no benefits for them in the United States.
Where's your sense of the American spirit in that? Where's the sense of,
Oh no,
but what about the employees?
actually very consistent with the American spirit of capitalism is not a country specific concept. The concept of capitalism doesn't mean it's only present in the United States. It's present in every other country. People want to make money, more money. They want to start companies, right? And things like that.
It
So
can be,
that's
yes.
nothing new. Now, the whole idea that that's an American concept is stupid because there's as many companies started outside the United States as started here, right? So now getting back to the point, I think the unintended consequences of the tariffs is much different than everybody's 401k going down by 15%. And that's what I'm trying to get people to think about. So in my banter today, I'm trying to tell people, look, think about your financial strategy because you may want to not be in the United States. Maybe you might be better off living in Taiwan. Or what's the most up-and-coming country in the whole world? And who has most of the money that could build their country the way they want? What is it?
So just as people came to the United States because
Yeah.
it was that, now you
Yeah.
think people could move to
Which country has the most money? Who has all the oil? Dubai, for example, right? Saudi
yeah.
Arabia. I mean, the guy who's the prince of Dubai, the what do you call it, the oligarch family, they're worth trillions of dollars. They're making over $1 billion a day selling oil to the rest of the world. I mean, they're
So
building cities over there that are incredible. They're
do you
spending
think they would
billions of
want
dollars.
do you think they would
Pardon?
want an influx of Americans?
I don't know whether they want it or not. They're building cities because they want to be, listen very carefully. They want to be the center of the world. They want to be where people go for vacations. They want to be where people go to start businesses. Dubai, and specifically the princes, I don't know what they're called. Well, one guy's name is Salman. Salman, spelled just like salmon, Salmon. But they're worth trillions of dollars. Their whole family's worth each person is worth like 15 or 20 billion,
And
right?
you now you've been there, right? You've been to Dubai,
No, I haven't.
Saudi
My
Arabia? You've
sons
not?
have, right?
So, folks, if you're listening and you're like a billionaire and you want to send Bob and I to podcast, this is ADD. You want to send just say I will pay for you and Bob to go do spend 4 days and 3 nights and do a podcast from Dubai. We'd appreciate that. Okay, back to that. Well, I just don't think people want to upend their families and their life. I
I
mean,
don't know. You know,
look at. I grew up in Nebraska, moved to Kansas City.
yeah.
I've often thought, should I move to Phoenix or California or Texas where my daughter is or
Do you know any history? Let me kind of like put you in that situation. Think about this.
okay.
Probably 300 years ago, there's a group of us sitting in a bar in Boston, Massachusetts. And some people are saying, you know, I'm happy. We got this far and we were raising potatoes in Ireland. Now we're over here in Boston and we got jobs. And some people said, I'm going west. And some people, why? Why would you want to go west? And they said, I don't know why. Maybe it's the adventure. Maybe because it's unexplored. Maybe it's the American spirit. But
Huh?
I'm going
This is
west.
good. This is good stuff. You should write a
People went
book on
west.
this.
And people went west. And my point is, they weren't thinking, you know, they all had a dream. You know, they wanted to get land like the Oklahoma Sooners, get the 160 acres, could you get there, you know, that kind of thing. But they all had a dream. But those dreams don't change. People still have dreams. Now, the issue always is that, you know, where do people go now with their dreams? We've gone as far west as we're going to go, right?
It's a new saying, Bob. You created a new saying that, you know, it used to be go west, right? Go west, young man, go west. Right. Now it's go Middle East. You've created go Middle East.
Well, I'm saying if you look at, it's hard to understand this, but in a way, but what where things happen is where people have money. And I don't mean 100,000. I mean 20 billion. I mean, I saw a couple of, documentaries last week or week before about what these cities they're building in Dubai.
Yeah, they're building. Have you seen that? They're building like a 5 mile long straight. It's like a wall. It's like a wall.
Yep.
It's all inside, like air conditioned inside, but it goes forever.
Now, Musk has said that. He said, look, what we need to do is we got plenty of land in Mexico or, you know, New Mexico, even Arizona. We got Western Kansas and Eastern Colorado. Let's start building cities out there, cities for the future.
Brilliant idea. I stand up. I applaud you. Great. Let me stand up.
And what I'm really driving at is that could be where growth could be in the future. Because what I'm really saying is one of the unintended consequences is, hey, New York, it's too expensive to live here anymore. But where am I going to live?
Well, and with technology, with Elon Musk, with Starlink, you can be in New Mexico or what? So if I were Elon Musk to get back in the good graces of America, he should say, get all crazy and say, I'm going to buy land and I'm going to put tiny homes. And I want thousands of people to move to New Mexico. What's that?
As said, I think it's a good idea.
Boy, we've just complimented each other in the last here 60 seconds back and forth. This is.
Oh, I don't think you ever compliment me.
Oh, I'm always complimenting you. You're the smartest guy I know. I wrote this in my book.
You think that,
folks? If you get this book, you'll read what I wrote about Bob Truitt. Said,
no, wait a minute.
The older brother I never had that I always wanted.
That's not a compliment. And when you tell me I'm the smartest guy you know, is that a compliment?
Well, are you saying that my circle of friends, if you're not, then my circle of friends is not?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think you are.
I don't know if it's a compliment or not.
Well, in specific areas, you're the smartest. You're so darn young for your season in life that you can keep up with a millennial or a Generation Z or a baby boomer. So you're smart. You're quick on your feet. Anyway, that's too much compliments because you look at his face, folks. Look at his face. He just hates to be complimented.
Because those aren't compliments.
That's the truth. My mom, my dear, sweet mom, I write about it in my book, Shameless Plug, my mom and dad. She said, if somebody deserves a compliment, you should tell them. You should tell them how much value they have or how much
I
you
think
appreciate.
That's egotistical and arrogant.
For me, it's egotistical and arrogant for me to say that?
Yes.
No, well, I don't think so. I'm okay. I mean, you could say that. It may come across to you, it may be that, but to me.
What's the presumption? What do you presume? If you tell somebody a compliment, what's the back end presumption of you to make that?
That I like them and I enjoy their company, presence.
Presumption is that you're in a position to make that judgment. See, what I'm saying is a compliment is a judgment. You made a judgment on a person. And I'm saying if the person who's making the judgment is not in a position to make the judgment, then it's not a compliment. It might be an opinion. I'd go with you on that.
Would you not say I'm in a position, after knowing you since 2006 when you created the economic stimulus package for Kansas when we met, that I'm not in a position now almost 20 years of knowing you, seeing you're good, you're bad, you're...
You're going to get to the point on this one.
Yeah, I'm in a position, I think. I think I'm in a position.
Position to what?
To compliment you.
Well.
Anyway, maybe your kids or friends can watch this and they go, you know, Dan's right. Bob's those things. Okay, let's move on. We digress. Now back to, yes, earlier I was going after the president because I think he deserves it. He's my president. My dad always said.
Hope he's listening then.
I know. And if somebody's listening can get to the president, I'll sit in the room with them and I'll tell him if I can handle face to face with Bob and banter, I can handle Donald Trump. So, but my point is, he's my president. My dad always said, respect the president, at least, I wouldn't say respect, honor the president, and or work to get somebody else in there.
If you
and
were
I will tell
you,
you,
you'd be so nervous, you'd be...
I think I would laugh. I think I would laugh. Not not out of disrespect, but
right?
I would laugh out of disrespect because I can see through. I can see with different eyes into Donald Trump.
You're just so smart. This is what I mean about being judgmental. You know, I'm not. Anyway, go ahead. So, are we wrapping up to today? We've covered.
Oh no, we got to go a little. We can go a little bit longer. We're getting soon to wrap up. But so this was the 4th of April, Friday. We'll see what happens maybe the next Friday in our program. But folks,
I'm actually getting stomach aches. This is what's doing to me. It's making me sick.
You
not
are
just bantering the situation we're in, because I don't know if people understand how serious it is. We're in a serious situation.
Well, you know,
people talking or not bantering, but I see our Congress people talking and talking and talking, like calling meetings. We're in a serious situation where we need serious people to do serious things.
Oh, that was great. Write that down. I'm going to quote that in the, we need serious people. Say it again. We need serious people to talk about serious things.
And do serious things.
And do serious things. That's good.
And as far as Trump goes, he's done something, like it or not. And now we're going to have to really sit down and say, are we going to be able to go buy bread and milk and food and housing? And, you know, this whole inflation thing is, people are going to go crazy talking about how tariffs cause inflation only because they know nothing about economics. People who know nothing about economics will be saying, well, we got to watch out. That tariffs, we're going to, that's good. That's an inflationary thing. That's because they don't understand economics.
So here's what you mark my words. We will hear over the weekend, because the market went down 2,500. Yeah. But the jobs report today, did you notice that they were expecting 150,000 jobs? The jobs are like 228,000. Trump will say, he always takes credit for the stock market going up, never down. He'll not mention that. He'll say, it's what I expected. And then he'll take credit for the jobs going up, which actually that report has nothing to do, really. It's because it's so backlogged for previous weeks. But my point is, that's why I think I could sit with him and I would just say, Mr. President, if you're going to take credit for the stock market going up, you have to be accountable.
He'd say, okay, so what?
And I'd say, so what are we going to do about it, sir?
I don't know. By the way, get you out of my office.
You, then let me help you. Let me help you gather some good minds.
Yeah. He would fall over himself on that. But yeah, as if he doesn't already have access to the best minds in the country.
I don't think he chose wisely.
And as far as that goes, we're not making any progress here, I think. But I think
this guy right here, look him up.
Who is it?
Stephen Moran, MIRAN. I mean, I've never seen anybody kiss up and talking points. I mean, everybody, whether it's Democrats, the Democrats are worse at it. They don't even disguise their talking points. The Republicans have Trump talking points that are put out by Stephen Miller, and they just repeat, da-da-da-da-da-da. The Democrats repeat, da-da-da-da-da-da. The Democrats, I thought, used to be better at painting things.
So
you're getting bored, aren't you? You're getting bored.
Well, no, I'm just saying we're not moving forward. We're not talking about options. We're not talking about advice that we give somebody. If somebody calls in and says, well, okay, you guys are smart, you see things, you've been around for 160 years, what should we do? That's the kind of things that I think we need to bring to the table. What should we do? For example,
solutioneer.
Pardon me?
Be a solutioneer.
I don't have any idea what that means.
My book. You better read my book. Be a solutioneer.
No, because it doesn't matter. What I'm saying is, here's like a suggestion. So I'm calling in and I'm saying, what should I do? Should I buy more bread? Should I take things in inventory? Should I learn a new skill? These are things that people can do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether they read your book or not, what do we advise somebody? I've got five sons. What should I advise them to do? Retire? go to cash. I've had somebody say, go to cash right now. Sell everything you have and go to cash and wait 2 or 3 months. I just talked to a guy who's a, I'll call him a whale, who deals very high level investing. And he said, I was going to go today and start buying stuff. And my financial guy said, wait a couple of months because it's going to get worse. So, but he said, we're going to cash. So everything I got that I can get into cash, so this is a strategy. This is a specific strategy that you might talk about with someone. Somebody called in and said, look, if you can, I'd say go to cash. That means sell everything. If you got two cars, sell one. Maybe you get 10 grand out of that car and then wait a month and then go buy Apple back or go buy Tesla back because it's going to be worth 30 grand once all this crap goes away. That's a strategy. That's what I'm talking about.
And that's a
what
good,
I'm saying.
That's a very good strategy.
Well, no, that's a strategy.
A strategy. One, but the other one, I think.
This is the kind of content I want to bring to the banter, is these kind of things.
Then
what's another strategy a person can do?
Another, you got one?
Another strategy is go to your phone, cancel your TV, right? Cancel your phone, go to the cheapest phone subscription you have. Take every subscription that you have and cancel them. Try to save yourself $500 or $800 or even $1,000 a month in subscriptions, right? So you can conserve cash because you may have to spend less for 2 years.
Yeah.
And give some thought to all the clubs you join. Maybe you got to cancel them. What I mean is you have to take some action. You can't just sit back and be passive about it. If you have a club where you're paying $800 a month, cancel them. They say, oh, I can't do it. Why is that? Well, because you'll be able to join that club probably in 6 months for a bargain.
This is good stuff, Bob.
Members.
That's what I've been trying to get you all day to talk about real.
Now, you may heard today that there is a lot of debt that was forgiven. I don't know if you've followed that.
I did
billion
not.
Dollars of debt, hospital debt. I don't know how many billions it was, but hospital debt very often gets sold to debt collectors, right? And the debt collectors very often sell it to another level of debt collector, right? So,
and they sold it?
This particular debt collector I'm talking about has they bought like $100 billion of hospital debt. And for some reason, I don't know all the details, because they've had trouble collecting it, and because the people they're trying to collect it from don't have any money, they just forgave all the debt.
You are enjoying banter with Bob and Dan. Sometimes it seems like they might require protective spacesuits to work together. Likewise, some families don't always feel like they're in a beautiful field walking, holding hands off into the sunset. They don't have protection and help they'd like. Across America, there are families who face not only banter, but genuine hurtful moments that impact marriages and children. Blended families, step families, and even single parents every single day face very challenging dynamics and relationships. USABFA is an organization founded to offer understanding, encouragement, daily tips, resources, and services. If you're a single parent or in a blended family, check out USABFA.com. That's USABFA.com.
So one company does that. What about the other companies that are doing that?
I don't know. Who else is forgiving debt?
I don't know.
I don't know anybody's forgiving debt.
But
the only
know,
time I've ever heard about what I just described is today. Today I read about this company that buys hospital debt, and they've raised cash, right, to cancel it all because they're saying we can't collect it anyway.
This is interesting stuff, folks. You've been listening to Banter. We always have stuff like that. We're winding down. We're talking about from hospital debt to tariffs to Oreo cookies. The things we talk about, web talk with Bob at Gmail.
Why did I bring up hospital debt?
Because AI is going to transform medical?
Because one of your financial strategies is to look at all your debt.
So you think the debt consolidation companies?
Well, oh my God, no. Consolidation companies are, they say, here's how you get out of debt. Let us take over all your debt. Now you got more debt. No. Look at all your debt and see what you can to change it, push it out. Let's say you owe somebody $5,000 and it's due in a year. Try to go 3 years on it. Take all your debt and try to refinance it. If you can refinance your home now, do it. Why? Oh no, I can't refinance my home. I get 6%. You don't get it. If you can refinance your home now and take out $100,000 and put it back into the market in 3 or 4 months, you'll have $200,000 probably in a year because the market will come back.
Yeah.
But you need cash to take advantage of it. See, this is the problem. People that have no cash can't take advantage of a bad market. The people that have cash do. They always come out ahead.
Yeah.
But right now, people should be thinking about how can I generate more cash?
That's right. How do I make more money?
Like the savings bonds. Just suck every bit of cash you can out of whatever you're doing and buy one share of Tesla or one share of Apple. And not, maybe not today, don't misunderstand me, but wait, because that's what the people that have wealth, that's the biggest advantage they have over people that don't have wealth. They can wait out this type of market. And they can wait it out, right?
Grandparents often stand on the sidelines, watching their son or daughter's news-to-family navigate challenges, feeling unsure of how to help. But what if you could offer them a gift that brings confidence, support, and understanding? Welcome to USABFA, the National Association for Blended Families and Single Parents. Grandparents like Jeff and Becky made the choice to gift a USABFA membership, and they saw the difference it made. It became the best decision for their family's future. For less than $4 a month, USABFA provides daily and weekly resources tailored to step family dynamics, on-demand videos, podcasts, and coaching tips, exclusive savings on products and services. This is more than a membership. It's a lifeline. It's a gift that equips your family with the tools and support to thrive together. Join the largest family demographic in America. Turn challenges into milestones and be part of the solution. With USABFA, you're never alone on this journey.
And I think that's one of our challenges in America is we are getting the haves and the have-nots are spreading apart, which is not good. But folks, more stuff like this from Bob and Dan at Banter. If you want to write us web talk with Bob, any profound, what Bob said is, I say breathe, Bob, you said wait and check this out. What's going to happen? Think about how to conserve money, all good stuff today, folks.
I'm going to go through every subscription that I have, and ones I can, I'm going to cancel it. I'm going to try to accumulate. So, like I'm saying, maybe it's going to be $1,000 or $2,000. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to try to accumulate cash, whatever I can. Maybe I'll sell all the stuff in my house. You know, there's an old story about the married couple. Do we have 1 minute left?
We do.
The married couple just got married. And they have a financial advisor. This is, by the way, this story is in one of the best-selling investment books of all time. Here's the story. Couple gets married, and they get a financial advisor. And they say to the financial advisor, we've saved our money. We have $500. We're going to buy a couch. The advisor says, do not buy a couch. They said, but God, we need a couch. He said, well, can you go down to some place and get a couch for like $50? And they said, no, that wouldn't look good in our house. Well, they said, think of it this way. Let's say you buy that $500 couch today. In 5 years, you know what that $500 couch is worth?
What?
$50. If you take that same $500 and put it into a T-bill or a bond or a stock market, you know what it's worth in 5 years? Probably $700 or $800 instead of $50. He said, every financial purchase you make as a young couple, you got to realize that if you put your money in the wrong places, It just gets less and less every year, like your couch. Every year you love sitting on it, and it's less and less value. And if the money's in the market or a bond, every year it's more and more value. Now, a real specialist financial guy would say, you have to understand the principle of compound interest. We have a financial planning company in Kansas called Grady Planning. If you read
brilliant.
Any of their
Peter,
material.
Peter Maloof, brilliant man.
Anyway, the point is that if you read any of their material, they always talk about educating young people to one simple concept, the concept of compound interest. And also interest payments. And this is my last point. Some people will not buy a house until they can pay cash. They'll save every dime. Some people buy a house. We all know you buy a house for $400,000, and over 30 years, you pay $1.2 million for that house, $800,000 in interest.
Yeah.
Now, what if you saved your money, you know, and then use interest to accumulate your money and paid cash? Now you don't have that $800,000. So when I'm driving it, you take a look at your whole financial scope of your life and realize that all the interest you paid was wasted money. Somebody else made money on that, right? Now, that's why you've got some countries, China is one of them, and Taiwan, another, where they have certain principles that they pay off all their debts every year. Anyway, so that's personal debt, things like that.
Yeah,
anyway,
wow.
That's all we got. My main point is this. Don't underestimate the period of time that we live in right now, because it demands a very close look at financial strategies for your family and yourself, whatever those might be.
And there you have it, folks. We've had fun. Hope you've had fun. Banter with Bob and Dan. Write us at WebTalkWithBob. WebTalkWithBob@gmail.com. We'll see you again.
Take us home, Dan.
Real soon, we'll see you again. Just a couple of guys from the heartland trying to be common sense, having fun, bantering, taking life serious, talking about new, fresh ideas. And join us next time.